he means like, are you going to help him now in the last
Are you going to
months?
go in when you see Behrman or Hadjar? Are you just going to crash into them?
Ah, sorry.
Not crash, not crash. We have
Many
we
of
have
you do that
respect.
by accident. They will look at this
Yeah.
podcast and they'll say, "See,
No,
it was
yeah, no, I know.
not crash, not crash." Just.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the F1 Feeder Series podcast, your guide to keeping up to date on everything in the junior single-seater world. I'm your host, Jim Kimberley, and those three hellos in my introduction are for a very special occasion because for the first time on the podcast, there are three F3 drivers joining me. Not only that, but I would consider all three of them prominent names in the Feeder Series world with Eurocup and Freca titles and Formula 2 podium visits as some of their accolades. And I wasn't sure with all of that who to introduce first, so I've decided to go in age order. Some might call it wisdom order if you want to be more positive. So let me first get round to somebody who's well-versed in GP3, Formula 2, and of course, Formula 3, and a member of the Sauber Junior team. Welcome to the podcast, Juan Manuel Correa.
Thank you, Jim. Very happy to be here. Finally, we get to do it.
Yeah, it's been a while. Thank you so much for your willingness to do this. And I need to also give a quick shout out to JM because he dragged his ART teammates along as well. That was something that you've been organizing. You're going to be a team owner someday, I think, JM, with that sort of organization.
Yes, I had to. Well, to be fair, it wasn't difficult to convince them. I think they were keen to come as well. So thank you for coming, guys.
They want to follow in your footsteps. That's what I'm hearing. But next up is a F3 rookie in 2022, but that didn't stop him from a podium finish on his feature race debut. He dominated Freca last year with 8 wins from 20 races to take the title. Great to have you with us, Grégoire Saucy.
Hello, Jim. Yeah, thank you for the invitation, and I'm really happy to be there.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. It wasn't so much of an invitation. I think you just wanted to follow in JM's footsteps, and you didn't want to let him have all of the limelight to himself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Directly when GM, Uncle GM, said to me to come there, I directly come there.
Well, we'll have to get into the uncle bit in a second. We spoke about it briefly just before we started recording, but I have to do a final introduction to the youngest of this ART trio and the driver closest to the 2022 F3 title of the three. He's a 2020 Eurocup champion, was the lead rookie in F3 last year, and is a member of the Alpine Academy. So at the time of recording, at least, is probably in the running to replace Fernando Alonso. How are you, Victor Martin?
Hi, Jim. Yeah, I'm really good. Really, really nice to be here talking to you with JM and Grégoire. So, yeah, thanks to JM for the invitation. You know, he asked me if I was happy to join him on a podcast. And yeah, I said yes. So here we are.
You have to follow the uncle's tips, right? So just exactly. A quick one. Let's get out of the way. Uncle JM, we spoke about it. And it's not an age thing. It was a wisdom thing. Is that right?
I don't know. I ask them. I don't know where that came from.
I don't remember too.
It was Victor that said that. Everybody found it hilarious, and now they call me that sometimes in the team. So, Victor, how did you come up with that?
Mate, I don't remember exactly the time where I said that, but I think it was probably when, you know, we're saying stuff about our life, our experience. And then I said, yeah, thank you, Uncle Jim. And that's it, you know. He's like, I will not say he's like the dad of the team, but for example, he has, yeah, so much experience and so much advice and also, of course, bullshit to say between each other. But yeah, it's how it came, you know, a bit of love and we all started to actually say that.
Actually, I don't know if you guys saw, but on the Twitter questions, Morgan replied, Morgan is Victor's race.
I saw.
And he replied, he was asking, JM, do you have any nicknames in the team? Obviously referring to the Uncle JM nickname. So Morgan, if you're watching this, thank you for bringing that up.
That's the quickest time we've ever got into the Ask F1FS part of the podcast. But, no, that's great. I tick that bit off. So Uncle JM and everybody else. We need to hear the nicknames for the other drivers. But lots to go through before we get to those questions. So as ever, a quick reminder to like, comment and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And you can also find our previous episodes and some great short videos on the rest of the channel. And if you're listening to the audio-only version, please leave a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. You can leave a rating on Spotify and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you leave us a review, we'll read it out in the podcast next time, but a simple rating is just as appreciated. Thank you to everyone who rates and reviews us. It really does help us out. Now, I said last week that we want to spend more time with our audience's questions in our episodes now, but we can't have the drivers on and not talk about their races and seasons. So we have to talk about what I'd call challenging, to put it nicely, weekend at Spa for the drivers joining me today. Let's tackle yours first, JM. It could have been silverware on Saturday, but a lap on puncture changed everything. And then on Sunday, you spent the race battling the championship contenders, but out of the points. How was the weekend from your perspective?
Yeah, very disappointing. I think it started off well in free practice. We had pretty good potential. Good pace. Then the quali was very tricky, as you saw. So we had to risk it, put the slicks and go out in a pretty much full wet track and wait for it to dry. So it was one of those sessions where you know the fastest lap time is going to be the last flying lap you do. There's a lot of incidents going on, a few yellow flags, and a lot of pressure to do the lap without any mistakes while there's still a lot of damp spots around. So I was actually, it's the happiest I've ever been to qualify P11, I think, because I just kind of put the lap there and hoped that it would at least get me to the top 12 without risking not finishing the lap. And that was the case. So I was looking forward to the race on Saturday, starting P2. I thought if I got a good start and passed him in lap one, I could win it. And it was all going to plan until the puncture, which was a big shame, because I think with the way that the race unfolded, the safety cars, I could have managed all of that quite well and probably won the race. So disappointing. And then Sunday, the feature race, we just lacked pace to be honest. We know why. We maybe went in the wrong direction with the setup. And then, yeah, the whole race, I was just battling and trying to maintain position and try to be opportunistic with mistakes other people were doing. But I did not have the pace of the championship contenders that were around me. So it was a little bit disappointing too.
Would you call it fun, at least on Sunday? Obviously, Saturday was over before it really started, but you did. There was a lot of battling with a lot of good drivers around you. Was it a bit more fun, at least?
It was. I mean, look, I always have fun when I'm in the car. I've made that a point since I got back after the accident, that every time I'm hopping back into the car, I feel lucky to be there and I enjoy it. So yes, I of course enjoyed it, but I would have enjoyed it much more if I was going forward instead of dropping back a little bit. But yeah, I had some good battles. I had some good blocking, especially against Victor's championship contenders. I didn't want to make life too easy for them. So a little bit of teamwork going on there.
Very good to hear. And speaking of Victor, you are in the title battle, and when you are in the title battle, not scoring points doesn't help. The wet qualifying, as we discussed, made the weekend difficult, but somehow you just didn't lose too much ground in the championship despite it all. So quite fortunate, possibly. You also had an eventful start in the sprint race, having to take to the escape road at Lacombe, and then had some questionable driving, let's call it, by Kushmany to end your feature race on lap one. A weekend to forget, or are you trying to take positives?
I'm not sure it's a weekend to forget, because I have seen many things there that I need to work on. So to forget it will be a mistake from my side. But for sure, it's in terms of points, yeah, it's a weekend that you need to put that on the side. But after, I think we have seen also some good stuff with the team, how we were in FP. We pointed our main problem to resolve it for qualifying. I think we were going to the good direction, and then for sure in quali with the damp conditions, it was tricky. We, as JM said, you know, it's the last lap which will count. I did a mistake on my side. I just brake a bit too late into Lecom, and I went straight. And actually, when you don't do the last two laps in quali, you can forget to be in the top 12 with these conditions. So that was just a simple mistake, you know, like it can happen. I was just trying to not think about the championship, just to push and trying to be at least in the top five. But then after that, you know, when you start P24, you also expose yourself to crash with other people, to maybe not smart people around the track also. So it can really affect your races. I did again another mistake in the sprint race. I did a jump start, sorry, and I was just, you know, trying to do a two good starts and not trying to just survive there and maybe go forward lap after lap. After with the contact I got into Lecom, was nothing. I was not having any issue with the car, and then I got the drive through and the race was over for me. And then into the feature race, you know, I really tried to get another approach of the race, of the weekend, of the championship also. I really tried to forget about everything, not to think about what to do in the car. I was just doing, I wanted to drive, you know, naturally, like I know how to do. And it was all going perfectly until the last chicane. I was around P14, I think. So 10 positions I made on that first lap. And then I was just, you know, at the wrong time, in the wrong place. So I will say it's the cherry on the cake of that weekend. But I want to stay positive because I know how to approach the last two rounds. I know we have the potential. I know we have the car also to win that championship. So I will keep pushing until the end.
You could have had a weekend like Teo in F2 and have your championship rival score a lot more points. So it's still very close. I mean, from a neutral perspective, watching this championship's been fantastic for the title fight. It's great to see you in it, but no one knows who's going to win it. There could be somebody sitting way further down the order. So great to watch. Probably not so great to sit in, especially with that incident with Maney on the feature race after it's going so well. Finally, Grégoire, you followed suit. You made it 3 from 3 disappointing F3 races for ART. Clearly, you didn't want to be left out of the fun. I'm sure I saw you going onto the grass at the start of the sprint race into La Source, and then your feature race came undone also at Lecom with contact exiting the chicane. Firstly, are you okay after your crash? And secondly, how much potential do you think you had this weekend?
Yeah, first I am okay. It was quite a little crash, I will say, but I am okay physically and ready to go in Zandvoort. And yeah, like my two teammates say, qualifying was really tricky. It was really easy to do some mistake. I did some too much mistake in qualifying. And after, exactly when we start in P19. It's really difficult to come back at the top. And the first race, yes, I tried to break late in T1, and just Vidales to push me on the grass. I think wasn't a good idea to go in the outside in T1. It was maybe better to go inside. But I finished P12. Wasn't the best race I had this year. And then the race two, the start of the race was quite good. For me, the car balance was looking good, not so much big. And then I tried to to do outside of T7 in another drivers in Marti. And when I see that he was pushing me outside, I tried to lift off and to let him by because I was short and I was faster than him and overtook him in the lap after. But he just completely pushed me out and I just finished my race in the wall. So wasn't a good weekend. But I am sure then we can come back stronger in Zandvoort and show our real pace.
Well, you had terrific weekend in Zandvoort last year. Are you hoping is that something that you've got experience there that you know that you are good at the track, or was that possibly just more familiarity with the Freca car than you've got with the F3 car? Are you hoping for great things this weekend?
I think it's both. I really like Zandvoort. I was really confident with the Freca car last year. But I am sure that we can do a good weekend in Zandvoort because I really like this track. It's really technical. It's turning everywhere, every time. So, and the condition can change also. We can have some wind, can change a lot there. So I'm pretty sure that we can try to do the same than last year.
Now, Formula 3 wasn't the only game in town this weekend, as Formula 2 got back underway for the triple header as well. Unfortunately for ART, it wasn't much better in F2 either, with Porsche losing significant ground in the championship and Vesti enduring another pointless weekend. Elsewhere, though, a driver took their first F2 feature race win, someone that I guess you'll know pretty well with your Alpine connections, Victor. Doohan took a while to get going this season, but he's now P4 in the standings after taking the win from Felipe Drugovich. How did you rate his race? Did you see it? And how do you rate his season so far?
You know, I think Jack, I know him from, I think we all know him, especially also GM from last year. We know how his style is in the car. And every time we are watching his on boards, it's always, you know, a bit... on the edge, over steel side, and I think in F2, maybe in the races it can not be that good for the degradation. And I know that, I spoke a bit also to him, and I think he really tried to make a big improvement on that side. And I think we could have seen that yesterday actually, because I think in Spa, if you need to manage the degradation. If you don't do that, if you don't manage to do it well, then you are not winning the race or you are not finishing it well. So it means that he is improving on that side. And but yeah, after that also, I remember I was racing with him last year in Spa for the win. It was more on the wet than on the dry, but for sure, I think he has a special feeling with that track, because I think he has done the two feature races in a row in F3 and F2. So yeah, let's see in the end what he will do, because I think it's his first feature race win. He has done one in the sprint race, I think.
Two, I think it is actually. Yeah, so he's turned his season around. He joins a podcast and all of a sudden his season gets better. What can I say? It's going to be the same for you guys.
I hope. No, so I don't know. I'm trying to look F2 or to watch F2 also, but sometimes you don't have the time. We're actually doing the debrief or doing the prep for the race of the day after. I remember on Sunday I couldn't watch the middle of the race. I was actually surprised when Doohan got past Drukovic, because I didn't see that, because I think I was trying to go to have dinner somewhere or to leave the track. And but yeah, I watched it in replay and then I understood how he got there.
Yeah, he's done so well this year. So congratulations to Jack on how he's continuing to rise. Now, Gregoire, unlike your teammates, you don't have to do any PR talk for us or championing any fellow academy drivers that you've got to look out for in Formula 2. Drugovic has surprised so many people this season, and he hasn't won for 12 races, but he's still well in the lead. Is that meaning the dominance is a case of his high talent, or do you think his rivals have failed to mount a championship challenge this year?
No, I think he's good. I have quite I think a big experience. But actually, I don't know him really well. But I think he showed this year a really good pace, and we can see it also in the standing.
Are you thinking then that the championship is his, like he's wrapped it up at this point, or do you think there's any chance for anybody else?
You know, in a championship, everything can happen. So until the end, he just need to stay focused until the end. But for sure, with the gap he have now, I think if he don't do some mistake, he can win it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think you know all about taking a big championship around the halfway point of the season to a championship lead and then making that work for you at the end. Just one final thing. The day the podcast is released marks 3 years since the 2019 feature race that changed your life, JM. I feel we should address the anniversary of Antoine Hubert's death here, but I also feel that everything that needs to be said about the day has been said already. So I just want to send our thoughts out to the Hubert family. But I wanted to ask how it was for you to return this year and last year to Spa and just hear about some of the positives of how much recovery you've gone through since 2019.
Yeah, it's been a ride, man. Obviously, every time I go back to Spa, it's quite emotional. Not just for me, I think for the whole racing community, F2, F3. We all see that track in a different way now. Don't get me wrong, we still love the track. I personally enjoy going back there and racing in it, and I'm happy to see it stay in the calendar. But there will always be the memory of Antoine together with that event. And in my case, of course, you know, I was involved in the accident, and it has heavily impacted me. You know, it has changed my life. So going back there, I must say last year was harder. Just the actual driving again in the track, racing, you know, you start thinking about the risks a lot more. And that's something that in general has happened to me after the accident. All of a sudden, you're more aware that you're exposing yourself to those risks. Whereas before I was kind of, maybe I didn't want to see it on purpose. I was trying to be ignorant to the fact that, yes, we are driving cars that are very fast. So, you know, when I went there last year, even during the race, I had a bit of thoughts about it. It didn't impede me on you know, going flat out and being a race car driver, but you do think about it. This year, I tried to take a little bit of a different approach, focus a lot more on the sporting side of it. I didn't accept as many interviews and media stuff before the race because I knew that everybody wanted to talk about the accident, and last year was a little bit too much for me. And this year it worked well. You know, I was able to kind of be just a driver during the whole weekend, focus on my job in the F3, focus on my job with the team, and enjoy it a little bit more with less kind of background noise. And it was good. But as you said, I know the day that this podcast come out is going to be the 31st of August. So that's the 3-year anniversary. It's pretty crazy that it's already 3 years. In some ways, it feels like a lifetime ago. In other ways, it feels like it was yesterday. So, yeah, you know, I do not mind talking about it because it brings back Antoine's memories, his legacy, and we can, you know, always remember him when we're talking about Spa, and I think everybody likes that.
Just a quick thing, which I didn't plan to ask, but you just brought it up there. I think it's really pertinent that there's so much focus on your physical recovery, which has been tremendous to see. But the things you've mentioned there, just also, it's like a mental recovery. You're mentioning racing differently, but also when you're racing at that circuit, the scene of the accident, you've had to switch your focus. I presume you weren't rejecting interviews at Barcelona 3 years ago. It's a total change. Has that made you into a better racer in general, do you think? Or are you just more mindful?
I think it has made me a better person in general. It has really changed me. You know, I know 3 years ago I was younger. I've grown up. It's part of life. But I truly believe I would have never grown up the way I have in the last 3 years if the accident hadn't happened. And most of that has been positive. We were actually talking about this with Victor last week in Spa. He asked me, you know, and it was a great question. He said, if Antoine hadn't passed away, if you would have been alone in the accident and you would have had the same injuries and the same kind of road to recovery that you've had, would you say the accident was overall a positive or a negative in your life? And it was a great question because I've made the same question to myself. And I think in many ways, it has been more positive than negative to myself in the way it has forced me to view life, approach things, be happy with less, appreciate the smaller things in life, you know, like be more open, etc. But Antoine did pass away. And of course, if I could go back to that day and do things differently, I think we would all do, of course. But you know, just the way I've approached it, and like you said, the mental recovery was tough. It was long, but I've come out at the other end with certain positives that I take from that, and I'm proud of that personally.
That's enough questions for me, because the F1 Feeder Series podcast is for you, viewers and listeners. We're going to move on to the hashtag AskF1FS part of the podcast, and like I said before, with the amount of questions that we don't get through usually, we're going to focus more on these with future episodes. If this is your first time watching or listening, you can get involved by using the hashtag AskF1FS on Twitter, joining our Discord and using the podcast questions channel, or simply commenting on our YouTube videos and asking whatever it is that's on your mind. First one here from Kiela Scott on Instagram, and it's a question for all of you. So let's do it, Gregoire, Victor, JM. Who's the best driver of the three of you?
Of course, me. Eh? I won't say that it's my teammate. Eh? Come on. Eh?
That's your answer?
I think we have three different type of driving.
Oh, we had the real answer. Now we're getting the press answer, a second one. What he thinks about it.
The politically correct answer.
I think we are three good drivers. When we are in this level, we are always at the top. So I think we are three really good drivers. After, for sure, when you hear a driver, you are just the best in the mind. So for sure, for me, I am the best, and I think for them it's the same. Victor is he's the best, and then Juan for him is the same. So, but yeah, I think we are three really good drivers, and that's the most important.
Victor, you are leading the championship out of these three. Does that answer the question?
It's what I was going to say. Let's have a look on the points. Was just too rough. Now, in the end, I think Grégoire answered well. You know, we have, and it's the truth. We have actually three type of style in on the driving style, and we all have our strength and weaknesses. And to be honest, we really really help each other in the during debrief, looking at data and stuff like that. But yeah, in the end. In myself, you know, I say to myself that I am the best. Like Grégoire said, he thinks he's the best, and JM also. So in the end, it's like that.
JM, is Victor putting words in your mouth here that you were just going to say Grégoire's the best, or are you the best?
No, I know I'm the best, but it's as they said. I think any sportsman at this level, first of all, yes, we are all very good. I think we have the strongest lineup in F3. I believe that. But you have to believe you're the best, and you have to truly believe that, not just say that because you think that's the correct answer. And we are also, yeah, three very different drivers with different profiles, different experience, stronger areas in some cases. You know, there's nothing wrong in me saying sometimes I go and look at some of their data and I'm like, damn, they did a better job, and I need to learn from that, and I'm sure it's the same for them with me. So overall, I think what's important in the context of ART Grand Prix is, yeah, we are working very well together. And I'm actually sad that the season is finishing soon, because I feel like the longer we work together, the more efficient we get as a team. And I'm sure if we would have 10 more rounds, we could do some great things. So also, as you said, Victor is leading the championship, so he has done the better job this year. And kudos to him. You know, we recognize that, and we are here to support him as well in his championship campaign. But yeah, it's a good lineup. I've been with many teams in my career, and I've enjoyed this year very much so.
Three talented drivers, I echo that. Just following up on what you said there as well, JM, that this is a question from Justin230105, rolls off the tongue on Instagram. Question to Gregoire and JMC. Are you going to help Victor win the championship? Let's go with you first.
I hope, guys.
Let's go with you first, Gregoire.
So how Victor helped me?
The other way around. Are you going to help Victor win the championship?
Ah, okay. I think GM helped for his experience, and me, I am still quite a good driver. So I think when you have good drivers and you are fast in a track, you can see with, how to say, you can help every drivers. And for me, I can learn from every drivers. I don't know if you understand.
I think he means like, are you going to help him now in the,
yeah,
in the last
I, are you going to go in, when you see Behrman or Hajar, are you just going to crash into them?
Ah, sorry.
not crash. We have respect.
Many of you do that by accident, they will look at this podcast and they'll say, see,
no crash. I think we don't need to crash with the other, but I think we can still defend.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. No, but I think we can still defend quite a lot with them, and I'm pretty sure that if I can slow it down, for example, Aja or Birman or Arthur, I think I will do it, because we need to help our teammate, and if I can I can slow down. I will defend a lot. So yeah, I will help him.
We saw you, JM, already do some of that this last weekend. Is that something you're going to see more of in the next two rounds? If the opportunity comes around, should I say?
I hope I'm not in that position again. I am known to be quite hard defender, so I think people know that it's not going to be easy. And it's not nothing personal. It's nothing. I mean, of course, if I can give Victor a hand like I did in Spa, I will, but I would do the same with any other driver. I'm not going to let anyone pass. But I think the best way we can help him for the last two rounds is just to keep lifting the team up, make sure we get all three cars inside the top 10 in quali. Because once we're fighting up there, you know, that's the best way to help him. And like Greg was saying in the beginning, we help each other just by giving each other data, tight open communication channel. And I really believe that if we do a good job for the next 2 weeks, he will not need any of our help, and he will take the championship on his own merit, as he has done the whole year.
Yeah, it's crazy to think 2 weeks away, and that's the season absolutely ran. A question about the season finishing as well comes from, well, I wonder who they support, the JM Correa Hungarian fan page. What are your plans for next year is one question, obviously to you, JM. And they also asked, and you need to clarify this bit, they're also curious about whether Juan liked the Langos or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know what my plans are next year yet. It's a little bit early. Of course, I'm looking at options in F2. But there are other opportunities out there as well, maybe endurance, maybe going to America. But it's still a bit early. I think we'll know more in 2 or 3 months. Mm. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. And then the langos, I unfortunately could not try it. So I know it's a typical Hungarian dish. And they were telling me before the weekend that I should try it. But no, you know, most of the time we eat in the catering at the racetrack. So I didn't get the chance. If I do F2 and I'm back in Budapest next year, I'll make a better effort to try it.
That's a promise there, a JM promise. I love when we get to the feed part of the F1 Feeder Series podcast. It's not the first time we've gone down that route. There's a question for all of you, but let's just focus it on you for the moment, Victor, which is from Kieran/Mega on Twitter. How do you think the F3 cars will do around Zandvoort?
They will do really, really well because I think I raced there, so for sure I know how it is. I love that track. You know, it's really technical, fast corners with banking. It's also really, really physical. So I think we will be a bit tired in the end of the of the races. So, but yeah, overall, I think it's a really difficult track to get used to it, to go, you know, at the limits and deliver the close to the buffer clap, you know, in quali. And then in the races, I think, to be honest, last year I was really surprised how we could overtake actually during the, I think was in race two, where we had headwind into turn one. So actually the DRS was really, really strong. So I was quite surprised how we could stay really close to each other and battle a lot at the top or behind, or you know, there was a lot of moves from the field. So I hope it will be the same, and I know that, I mean, I know for sure I will enjoy it. I will enjoy it maybe more than the others because I really like the track, but yeah, let's see. I'm really looking forward to go there.
You had your sprint race, well, one of the sprint race wins there last year, didn't you, as well? A question which I probably should have got you to think about beforehand. So the first person I'm going to ask it to is JM, because I feel that you'll think of an answer quickly with your older/wiser brain here. That is from Law via Twitter. Can you describe each of your teammates with three words? So I'm going to JM first, then I'm going to Gregoire, and then I'm going to Victor. Three words, describe your teammates.
All right, so for Greg, I would say shy, methodical, and measured. Yeah?
Measure?
Measured. Like, he will touch the water before jumping inside, you know? Like, He likes to be sure of what he's doing before he does it.
That's a great example, by the way.
And for Victor, Victor.
I mean, I could do this. This is you know him way better than I do. I couldn't do this.
Yeah, but I've seen it's more hard, sides of him than you have. I'll tell you that. I think Victor is maybe more passionate. You know, he is French. You can see the Frenchness in him. I think Greg, being Swiss, he's a little bit more calm, measured, as I said. Victor has a little bit more fire in him. He is aggressive, I think, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but you know, kind of what's the opposite of measured, but I don't want to say like crazy, because obviously, you know, and I'm talking more driving, but he's the kind of guy that you will see at his first push lap in FP, and sometimes he's already over the limit in one of the fast corners, so you know, he sends it. And third, I would say mature. I think Victor is quite mature for his age. You're 20 years old, Victor, 21?
21.
21. And yeah, I've had some pretty interesting conversations with you, which is surprising because many drivers are not that that switched on when it's things outside of racing. So yeah, mature, aggressive, and what was the last one? And the first one I said?
You said mature, aggressive, and God, I forgot myself. I was just thinking.
Did I say the first one? passionate.
French is a
French passion.
Good answers, which means the pressure is on Grégoire to do the same for your two teammates.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a measured response here.
Yeah, no, I will start with GM. I think he's, a person who helped the other really, really easily. And that's a really good thing for him. I don't know the world of that, but he easily helps the other. So it's really good for him. I will say.
Don't give me that.
I searched because I have something, but I won't say it. Quite a aggressive person in the whole, I think he say also, but in a good way, mm-hmm. Not in a bad way. And also he's really, really calm before a session.
He sing like crazy.
Yeah, but of course he sing quite a lot when he come to, for example, when we change. He's quite a good singer sometimes.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's really difficult to, but it's really difficult to search who I will say. But and now Victor, I think he's really, how to say, he's always searching what he can do better. Always thinking to what he can do better, and then second. I don't know how to say, but everything is really clean. Like when he put all his stuff, nothing is in a
like perfection, say? I think.
Yeah, the perfection, or... exactly. It's what I was searching.
I'm crazy on that.
Yeah, sometimes it's. But then third, I think, I don't know.
It's hard, huh?
It's quite hard, huh?
You know which one I would say also for Victor?
Go on.
You can help me.
Motivated, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, he pushes. Yeah. It's nice.
That's a good example there of Grégoire saying helpful for JM as well. At you.
Oh, GM, yeah. It's what I was saying. Exactly what I was saying.
And Victor, people have been speaking glowing about you.
It's quite hard, to be honest. I will be honest, because these things, I really struggle sometimes to put word on you know, like the character of the people. But for sure, for Grégoire, I will need to say the same as one which is shy, for sure, because I think everyone says that to Grégoire, but which is not a bad thing, I would say. Huh? It's you know, it's him. You when you see Grégoire, he's, you know, a bit shy and. On his side, looking around, what is going on, and Rex. Yeah, no, but I speak not for sure in the car. I would say more outside of motorsport or with the team and stuff like that. Second, it's hard to choose. I mean, to find first.
You've had the longest time to think about this as well.
Also really, I would say really professional. You know, like looking. I would say really professional. He really listened to everyone, to myself, to Juan, to every guy in the team. So I would say that professional. And the last one is something funny. Because every time it's the same every morning.
Yeah, before, I was thinking that you were
before the before before he's not on time, he's early. Earlier than being early, you know.
That's true, yeah. Always.
There has not been a single day at a track when I'm always arriving on time. Every time I walk into the truck, Greg is already there sitting down.
On the chair.
Chilling.
Yeah, on the chair.
Waiting for everybody.
And there I think there is one word which can describe this is the
punctual.
Respectful also. Mm. You know, like to
yeah.
I think he doesn't want to be late because he thinks that it means he will not respect the engineers, us maybe waiting for him. I don't know.
That's true, yeah.
I can attest that he was the first driver of the three of you to be here for the podcast as well. So another example of you telling the truth. And for
and it's quite funny because, yeah, go on.
I was going to say, and for JM as well, with the three attributes that you described.
For JM.
Uncle?
No, I would say crazy, but in a good way. Like, I think because of what happened in the past, he's just enjoying his life, like in every way. On the motorsport side, I have spoken with him about also stuff outside of motorsport, and he just enjoy life, you know, like in a good way. So crazy, but like crazy in a good way, you know, like he's just
living life to the full. I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Second. I don't know, man.
You've had 10 minutes, Victor. You've had 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I would also say on the driving side, aggressive, because and I got surprised in Spa, because it was actually the first time where I think you will remember one where I was I asked him, wow, why you were not like me at the limit on the first push? You know, like sometimes
in the fast corner, yeah.
Sometimes I think that I am at the limit, and there is one, you know, like above you, and I'm like, I cannot do that on the first push, or even after. So I would say aggressive also, and you know, he wants to be straight on point in quali. I think the team and I think that the team he has been. In the past, they probably know him that from the first push he's there, even if he has no experience on that track. I remember Bahrain was when he came back from he couldn't do the pre-season test there, or the first
I didn't do the first 2 days the
first 2 days I think yeah. He arrived the third day and you were like two tenths of us
on my first
and
push.
I was like we are in the shit, you know, like after 2 days of testing and him arriving to the track, was quite impressive. And then the third one, I don't know, to be honest, really funny. I would say a funny guy that I like to spend time with, like even outside of the track. I would like to, you know, have a friend like you.
That's lovely. All three of you. I was expecting some sort of, I don't know, more negative, not negative, but, you know, joking stuff. But the three of you just seem to be in love with each other. It's so warming to see.
I will cut you because I heard James saying that before. I think it was today. I was actually thinking of, wow, we are going to the last two rounds and it's going to be the end. You know, like we don't know where we are going to be next year, if we will be teammate or not, or in F2 in endurance or whatever. But I was actually thinking of it's a bit sad, like he said, if we were having 10 rounds again, I think we will be probably again a lot stronger than what we are now, because we have a great relationship and a great understanding about what is going on in the team.
Harmonious within the team. As one thing that I learned, we talk about the deaf experiences, is that you usually don't know you're in the good times until the good times are over. But I feel that the three of you have got this unique opportunity to know these next 2 weeks are the good times, and you can enjoy every second of it. So really positive stuff here. I'm enjoying this. That took a while, though, so I'm going to go quickly through some of these other questions here. Morgan, TRL, and I think you guys know about this one, wants to know, do you have a nickname in the team? Now, JM, you spoiled it a little bit with the uncle. So, well, you didn't spoil it, but the uncle thing came out early. How about the other two drivers? Victor, Gregoire, do you have a nickname within the team?
Actually, I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, no, Victor, they call him Victor, and Greg, Gregoire is Greg. I mean,
it's just Greg, but it's not a nickname. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? No.
Yeah, me too.
I've been the only...
They all have in the team. They all actually
within
have.
Within the mechanics, and even the engineers, everybody has a nickname.
Sometimes you don't even know the real name of the guy.
There are some mechanics on the team that I couldn't tell you their legal name. I just know their nickname. And I've been at the team for 2 years. So, yeah, it's a big nickname. But actually, Victor and Gregmo.
I don't think we have a nickname.
No. I mean, we have our type of, you know, character, which is me always late. But this is the, you know, Victor is going with the late world, you know, like Victor is late, you know, like... When you think about Victor, you think about him late or just on time.
Just on time, Victor Martin. I like that. I want to ask a question, but I'm also embarrassed to ask a question from Callum 2021, because ever since you became a driver on my radar, Gregoire, or Greg, it's such a cool name, I think. But they've asked the question, I just want to know what Source's favorite sauce is. And I'm sorry to ask it, but it's a fucking great question.
It's not the first time that I heard this question. Actually, I don't know, but I will say, I don't know if you know it, it's Samurai. It's a
piquant
sauce.
It's a spicy sauce.
It's like a spicy mayo. No?
A spicy mayo.
I would say it is one, but just for the fun.
Good question. I'm glad you asked.
I saw it and I was like, I don't want to ask it, but I really want to ask it.
You know, I am not, angry about that. You need to take fun about my name and that's it.
There's nothing fun about it. It's just a fun question. And when you're a world champion, I can just say to my friends, oh, I asked him about the name when he was younger. So I've got that off my bucket list now. There's a bunch of questions, but we're going to have to skip through some of them. Just a quick, depending on how quick it is. From Korea, Hungary, love you from Hungary, it seems, JM. How is ELMS compared to F3? Is it more or less physical, etc.? Now, you were meant to be doing the ELMS season, but I don't know what the actual situation is. So you did the test, right?
I did a few preseason tests in the LMP2, but they were private tests with Prema. So yeah, I have a bit of experience in the car. And then because of my fracture in Bahrain, I missed the first two rounds of the ELMS. So the plan was I would do 4 out of 6 rounds of the championship, the ones that didn't clash with F3. But I missed the first two that I was supposed to do. So I will just do the last two, which are 2 weeks after Monza and then 3 weeks after that, which will be Spa and Portimao. So I'm looking forward to that. And the car, it's less physical. The LMP2 is less physical than the F3. You have power steering and the brake pedal is quite a bit softer. So overall, I would say it's an easier car to drive.
Interesting. I can't even comprehend the differences you have to go through with them, but imagine just being in closed cockpit is a different kettle of fish entirely. Now, again, I mentioned before we're going through as many questions as possible, and we've really not done that, but I've got a bunch of quick fire questions. So what I think we'll do is we'll have them go through JM, then Greg, then Victor to answer them one by one. And if you want to expand, feel free to, but the first one comes from Libs, and they want to know, if you could only race at one track for the rest of your life, where would it be?
Actually, Spa for me. I think it has a bit of everything.
Greg?
I think I will say Barcelona.
Oh, wow.
because it's more or less the same than say the Juan, but there is all type of corner, there is in kind of degradation. So yeah, the Barcelona, yeah.
Victor?
Probably is on board.
Oh wow. Those aren't answers I expected here at all. Spar I did, but the other two, surprising.
For me, Zandvoort, I would say Monaco, which I really, really like. Like historical. I love street circuits, so I don't know. I'm in love with that track.
I imagine it's great to drive. Not so fun to watch all the time, though. Similar sort of question from Greg Drow via Discord. What's a track you want to race on that you haven't driven yet? JM.
Jeddah.
Huh.
Jeddah. Yeah, I like street circuits as well. It looks real sketchy, and I don't know how long it'll stay in the calendar. So I wanna have a go before they take it off.
And you'll probably set the fastest lap on your first push lap as well when you go out to practice. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Risky. Greg, do you have a track that you've not raced on yet that you'd like to?
Yeah, maybe it can be next year, but it could be Melbourne. Melbourne, it looks really nice.
And if you've played the F1 games, as I presume you did as a child, it's always the first track you race on, so you get lots of experience on it.
I already did some laps in Melbourne in the F1, yeah.
I'm certain in my gaming career, that's the track I've done the most laps on ever, because it's always the first track. How about you, Victor?
I think it will be a bit, you know, surprising. I have two, actually. It's Jeddah, like one, because like really fast corners with walls really close to you. And the other one is Baku. I really want to go there and try it.
That's a
sick track. It's my favorite track, I think.
Like to go to, I don't know, with the F1, I think they go to 360, 365 or something like this.
And in so the F2, like three... Wow. Almost 3:30 in the slipstream. Yeah. It's really fast.
So I want to go there. There are some nice sections, to be honest.
Ah, street circuit specialist Victor Martin. That's what I'm hearing here. Good answers again. Complete change of subject of these ones, but Ashley via Discord, what's your favorite type of cheese?
Camembert?
Cheese.
Camembert.
Camembert cheese, that's a good answer, yeah.
Oh, no, me, I have mine.
Greg?
I think like I am a Swiss person, I would say the fondue.
I don't know what to say.
There is a type of cheese, is vacherin for the fondue.
I will show you mine because I think you don't know.
Victor's in a show and tell now. I can't wait for the people listening to the podcast to get this.
Greg, you will know it. It's Caprice des Dieux.
Yeah, but to say in English, I don't know.
I will show you on the...
You can tell they're French, eh, Kim?
This is very, very...
That's it. That's this one.
Caprice des
Dieux. It's a kind of camembert, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... remade.
Okay.
I didn't put, how do you say, when you are sponsored? That's
not they're not backing.
They're not sponsoring you.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. That one, I think that cheese, I eat it at least two times a day.
What? Two times a day?
But not the full one, you know, not the full package, but at least two pieces per day. Every day, when I'm home, I love it.
That's a literally the recipe for success is to eat two of those every single day. But very good. You can tell, Victor, that you love food as well. You started to get that passion coming out that I heard so much about.
You remember it.
I do. I remember when we spoke before. This one's from Canadian Josh. I'm hoping you all have the same answer to this because I have strong views. Do you sleep with socks on or off?
Off.
Off.
yeah.
There's disbelief on JM's face there for anybody who is listening.
That will be a bad night if I sleep with socks on. It means something bad happens there.
If I'm sleeping with socks on, it's because I've had a heavy night's drinking the night before and my entire clothes are
you
on.
You didn't arrive to the socks.
Exactly. Yeah, never got that far. This is a classic question from Tom Evans Photos via Discord. What color is your toothbrush?
To what?
Toothbrush.
The
blue.
Toothbrush. Ah. Yeah, mine is baby blue.
Baby blue.
Baby blue. Yeah.
Blue.
Baby blue, like soft blue, yeah. But I mean, I change my toothbrush every month. Right now, it's baby blue.
Mine is blue.
You all have blue toothbrushes.
Yeah.
Are ART giving out blue toothbrushes? What's going on?
Like since you are young or not? Because me, since I'm born, I was born blue. I didn't change for my entire life until now.
You've had the same toothbrush your whole life.
No, mate, come on.
You keep buying a blue one.
No, but I think for many years, I still have the shape, you know, the same one, but I renew it, you know.
It's a toothbrush loyalty from Victor Martin there. Toothbrush. Wow. I didn't expect that.
First he's trying to get a cheese, a sponsorship, now a toothbrush sponsorship.
Blue toothbrushes only. Yeah.
Impressive.
Well, you need a blue toothbrush to brush all that cheese away.
You need to have white teeth, huh? To get white teeth.
Okay, well, this is a final question. And it's specific, actually, to Juan from Vishred via Discord. Which podcast do you like more? The F1 Feeder Series podcast or a certain F2 drivers food themed podcast?
I mean, in the other podcast they gave me wine, so I think two different dynamics, you know. Marcus's podcast is more of a hangout. We're you know, I've known him since we were kids. So yeah, two very different dynamics. This one is definitely more politically correct, I would say. That one is.
I don't force anything. You say whatever you want.
No. Yeah, but you know the vibes, and I think he gives his guests wine or alcohol on purpose to get them to talk about things they wouldn't talk about normally. So I did a good job, I think, in my episode by, you know, trying to remain a bit professional. But different vibes. I enjoy both.
I have a question. You get only one drink or
no more? No. As many as you want. Yeah.
Oh, it can end up badly.
It can. Yeah. Normally, that's when they stop the podcast.
And that's when you wake up the next day with socks on and you realize that's what's happened.
Correct.
Well, I imagine we can see Victor and Greg joining Marcus's podcast soon when he's just found out that he can have his unlimited drinks.
No, but he asked me I think it was Silverstone, because he asked me because I think there was a problem with one driver, and we were actually in the F3 and F2 catering, and I was with Clem Novarek, and he was there also, and he asked me when I should join, and I said I don't know, you know, for it was still new. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see how it was, if it was not, you know, like too much, too funny and not enough professional, but I think if he proposed me, I will see, because I think he does it in London, no? If
I mean, he does it everywhere. I did mine in Budapest.
Okay.
You know, we all have an image to take care of, so we always try to measure things before we do them. But I think as you get a bit older, you also, like Victor said about me, you start to enjoy life a little bit more. You care a bit less about the political stuff, but I find it funny that he's doing it, and I support it. And you as well, Jim, this has been great. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. But yeah, we do support it as well. There's plenty of room in the world for Feeder Series podcasts, and it's a great thing that Marcus is doing. Just need to get him on the podcast now. The podcast collaboration the Feeder Series world wants to see. Yeah. But I imagine we'll see Victor and Greg joining that other podcast pretty soon. Now they know that unlimited alcohol is available. But from now, from our side,
0%.
That's all the time we have this week. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. If you'd like to have your question asked on a future episode, use the hashtag AskF1FS on Twitter. Drop any questions below if you're watching on YouTube, or let us know what questions you have on your mind on our Discord. Look for the podcast questions channel. If you are watching on YouTube, dropping a like on the video, leaving a comment and subscribing all really helps us out. And if you are listening, leaving a review on the podcast platform you're listening on is greatly appreciated. Finally, check out f1feederseries.com for more Feeder Series insight, and follow F1 Feeder Series 1, F1 FS Americas and F1 FS Live on Twitter. You can find the links to all of those, plus the Twitter accounts for myself and everyone else on the podcast, in the YouTube description or the podcast show notes. Until next time, we have been the F1 Feeder Series podcast. Goodbye.